Greetings this morning in Christ's name. Good morning to gather together in the house of the Lord again. Glad for the presence of each one as we continue to look into God's Word. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'd like to read two verses here to begin with. Jesus' words here to the disciples as he was nearing the time of going to the cross and the crucifixion. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The title for the message this morning is simply on relationships. Relationships that strengthen the brotherhood. I've been thinking down this line for, a little while here now. Just different things have brought me to those thoughts, I guess. I feel like it seems like the devil is trying extra hard these days to destroy relationships amongst God's children. Tear the church apart. The devil realizes that his time is short, and if he can tear the church apart, that certainly is his goal. There have been different things that have brought my mind to this. One of the things is probably some of my discussions with others, some relatives of mine, and in relating some of the struggles that they're going through in church life, and it just kind of got me to thinking about all of this. And I guess the question that I would ask is, are our relationships, with those that we sit on the church benches with, are they strengthening us? Are they strengthening the brotherhood, our congregation here, speaking specifically of that, or are they tearing it apart? That was something that has been good for me to think about, and it is something that I would like for each of us to think about. We hear and know of many congregations where, by all appearances, relationships are not what they should be. What are we doing about that today? What are we doing about that right here as a local brotherhood? We as a congregation do have things that we need to work through. We have issues that we have had things in the past where we've had to sit down and work through issues, and we presently do. We need to work through those things as a brotherhood to get through those situations to where God wants us to be. This morning, as I already said, we have an enemy who is actively working at destroying those good, workable relationships. Are we each individually, as a brotherhood, doing what it takes to maintain good relationships? As God's people, I believe that He calls us to be close. I believe He calls us to have a closeness one with another. He calls us to brotherhood relationships because He knows that these relationships are what strengthens us for the spiritual battle that is there, that we are in. I believe we all struggle with spiritual problems at times that I really feel like we could conquer more quickly and more thoroughly, if I can say that, if we would share them one with another, if we would share them with our brethren, those of us that are married, yes, we have our companions to share with. That is good, and that's right that we do that. But maybe there are others that have a better understanding or can see our needs more clearly than what our companion may. James 5, verse 16, I don't think we'll turn to it, but it is in the context there of the teaching on anointing with oil. It says, confess your faults one to another. Just part of the verse there. You know, so often it seems like we are sort of embarrassed to admit that I have a fault, that I have a struggle, that I have a problem. So we tend to try to handle them ourselves. And then so often it seems like we end up not handling them so well. And I think that the reason that we need to build relationships to strengthen the brotherhood is because the closer we are as brothers and sisters, the easier it will be to share together. Are we possibly missing out on the blessing that is really there of just sharing our burdens, our struggles? I guess I'm thinking of that more in particularly with each other, that God, the blessing that God would have us to have. And maybe you do that more than what I do. I guess I'm speaking more as I think of my own heart, and it's something that I want to grow in, to be more open and share the struggles that I face, the daily struggles. I know it would do me more good. I think it would do us all good. Sharing one with another. We don't discuss heart problems with strangers. And so we need close brotherhood relationships. Even Jesus needed friends to share with. That impressed me as I thought about this subject. As it was nearing the time of the crucifixion, it seemed like Jesus, on a couple different occasions, tried to bring up the subject. It seems like the disciples tried to shrug it off, that this really couldn't happen. This thing of Jesus being taken from them and crucified. I believe there is one instance where it says that they were sorrowful. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Read a couple of verses. Matthew 26. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe the disciples could have done better in relating to the need that Jesus felt. Notice Jesus' desire for someone to strengthen him. If Jesus needed it, surely we do. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 38. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He wanted them to watch. He wanted them to observe the agony of his heart. Reading on, verse 39. And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus was disappointed that his companions were not there, watching, observing his agony, and sustaining him. Reading on, Jesus knew that they needed this as well. But reading on, verse 41, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I've wondered already, if those disciples had been watching, excuse me, with him, praying in his agony, whether they would have responded the same way. When the crisis actually came, it says that they all fled. Peter and John at least followed afar off and eventually found themselves in the council hall, but they fled. Jesus knew that their flesh was weak, even though the spirit was willing. He knew that experience, that sharing in prayer, he knew they needed that, but they didn't have it. In another one of the Gospels, it says in Luke 22, verse 43, "And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." I wonder if it was because the disciples fell asleep and were not close to him that the angels needed to come and minister unto Jesus. God provided for him. He provided the companionship that Jesus needed. But Jesus wanted the disciples to stay awake and be the help that he needed at that time. I also think of stories of back in times of persecution where many were martyred for following Christ. Many times the martyrs were strengthened by their brethren. I've read accounts where brethren would show up in the crowd at the place of execution to encourage the brethren who were being killed. Sometimes these individuals would call out to their brethren or lift up their hands to try to encourage them to be faithful to the end. They endangered their own lives for the safety of their brother's soul. That is how much they loved each other. That is the kind of relationship they had with each other. And that really spoke to me. Is that the kind of relationship I have with you, my brethren? Is it really? Thankfully, we are not facing such physical opposition, but we are facing the prince of the power of the air. We are facing spiritual wickedness in high places, and we need the kind of encouragement those martyrs needed. Brethren, I need that. We each need that. It is encouraging to me to see individuals stepping out and taking a stand for the Lord. It is also encouraging to assemble in a group like this. We are together as a group of people who are earnestly seeking to find the way. That is a real blessing. Another reason why we need to build these relationships is found in John 17. Let's turn to that. John chapter 17. Verse 20. "Neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, but that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." I think there are four times here, at least three, where it says that they may be one. The reason God wants us to be one, the reason that he wants us to be a close-knit brotherhood of believers is because it is proving to the world that Jesus was sent of God. Do we realize how much is committed to us? It says that a couple of times here, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When we as brothers and sisters, as a brotherhood here, live together in unity and in closeness and build strong relationships, we show to the world that Jesus was sent of God. There is a sense, yes, where I am one with every child of God over the face of the world, even those I don't know, even those who are not a part of our denomination, I guess you could say. But I believe that Jesus was talking about a oneness here far greater than that. He was talking about something less abstract. He was talking about something that believers could see. I think we would be amazed if we could see beyond the mask that so many people are wearing, and we could see how many lonely people there are in the world who are starving for friendship, starving for a closeness, a group of people that are close together. some of these are attracted by the closeness of the family of God, and they want to become a part of that. Unfortunately, many think that the cost is too high, and they go on their lonely ways. But I believe that there are some, because of the closeness and friendship, the warmth, the love, they're attracted to what brings that about, and they will step out and identify, stand with the people of God. Moving on now, I'd like to look a bit at how to build and strengthen the brotherhood, how to build relationships and strengthen the brotherhood in that way. The first thing I want to think about is we need a solid platform upon which to build. And I'd like to notice a few verses in Ephesians 4. You can turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm convinced that we cannot really be close. We cannot have a strong platform, or we cannot have a strong brotherhood without a solid platform to build upon. Familiar verses here in Ephesians 4. Let's read verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Notice here the seven ones: one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There must be unity of the Spirit, as verse 3 brings out. This morning we cannot have that if we are not united on these ones, this list of ones that's here. If we have different faiths or a different Lord, then we cannot be keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Spirit leads us into unity. I think there is a lot of confusion, or I've seen where it seems like the Spirit of, sure I get this right here, it seems like the Spirit of unity was mistaken for the unity of the Spirit. There is a difference. There is a big difference. And there's a lot of confusion about that. Many people make the mistake of where they come together and it's only the Spirit of unity. Have fun. Have a good time. We're together having a good old time. Where you see that happen, well, you will probably find that basic Bible doctrine is often ignored, if not outright scorned. If that is the primary focus, if all we have is a Spirit of unity, all that matters is that we have lots of fun and a good time and it's really good to be together. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. I'm not saying that we don't have a good time when we're together. And yeah, we don't have we do have an enjoyable time. But if all we have is the Spirit of unity, and that is all that matters, we're going to miss it. One time I heard an individual saying how he was at a funeral, and how the pastor, who was making remarks about the man who had died, he kept referring to the one who had passed away as his buddy. He kept referring to that as this man was his buddy. And I guess I wouldn't say that I'm totally against using that term, but I sure don't think I would use it in preaching one of your brethren's funeral message. It doesn't seem like that would be very appropriate. I hope it's a whole lot more than that. I hope it's a whole lot deeper than just a buddy relationship. I'm afraid that is too much the relationship in too many Too many circles today, a buddy relationship instead of a real brotherhood relationship. I don't think buddy relationships will carry us through to the right place. They are what comes when we have the spirit of unity, but not unity of the spirit. For any kind of true brotherhood relationships to exist and grow, there needs to be oneness upon basic doctrine and practice. There needs to be a oneness in that. If there is not that, it will be virtually impossible to have brotherhood relationships that will endure, brotherhood relationships that will stand in the struggles, the trials, the battles of life. This is not saying that there will not be any differences in our thinking at times. I'm not saying that. There will be differences in that. But I'm convinced that according to Scripture, that God would have us to be together, come together as a united body and present a witness for Christ in this world that is not together. In this world that there is not at all anywhere near close the relationships that we can have as a brotherhood that God would want us to have. We cannot ever build relationship when individuals take a light view toward the authority of the Scripture. We cannot. We cannot ever build relationships that will last. Again, relationships that will be strong if we take a light view toward the authority of the Scriptures, or do not believe in holiness of life, or those foundational Bible principles, those foundational Bible doctrines. Once we have agreed that Jesus Christ will be our foundation, then we have a good platform to build from. And we see that clear. We see ingredients for this clear through the book of Ephesians. You may still have your Bibles open to Ephesians. Let's look at a few verses. Chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 and 20. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and pilgrims. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we must build. If we are going to build right, if we are going to build good, strong, true relationships, the New Testament Scriptures that we have here before us today, the New Testament Scriptures is what we must build upon. Now I would like for us to look at some practical things that are necessary in building good relationships. And I'd like to look at an example that we find in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll be looking at a number of verses there, so let's just turn to that. 1 Samuel chapter 18, probably know where we're going with this. We have here the story of Jonathan and David. And I'm just impressed with their example of this. We have two men here that stood on common ground. To them both, their love of God was the platform for their relationship. And I'd like to look at a few things here, look at a few scriptures that tell us about their relationship. And as we do that, I would like to pick out a few ingredients that are necessary to build the type of relationship that they had, the close relationship that they had. This relationship, again, it has just impressed me again and again, and did as I was as I was reading down through here, the love that these men had, the closeness, it was such that when Jonathan died, David in his lamentations over Jonathan, and in I believe it's in 2 Samuel 1, maybe, says that his love for Jonathan surpassed his love for women. That is how close they were. Let's read here in 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan impresses me here as an humble individual, as an humble man. The first ingredient that I want to notice here that we see is we need to be humble to build close relationships. We need to be humble. We lift the other person up. We elevate those around us more than ourselves. We have the spirit of humility. Saul here impresses me as a proud man. You could probably think of incidences where that was very obviously the case. Saul felt threatened by David time and again. You can see that coming out. But when we see Jonathan talking to David here and taking him in as his close friend, we don't see any sign of a rival spirit, any kind of a rival spirit. Actually, we see Jonathan wanting to lift David up. We see that in the next verse. Before we look at that verse, I would like to bring some verses in here from Romans 12, and I have them written down here. You don't need to turn to that, but Romans 12, verses 9 through 10 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." We have the word here, dissimulation. If I remember correctly, it means something like hypocrisy. Let your love be genuine. Let it exist without dissimulation. Then verse 10 speaks of preferring another above ourselves. To build close relationships like Jonathan and David had, our personal goals must be subject to common goals. They must be. And so often I feel like we have that twisted around where the common goals need to be subject to what I personally think. How does that work when we have a large congregation and you try to bring all the common goals subject to our personal goals? We get that twisted around so many times. Our personal goals must be subject to common goals, to higher goals, to spiritual goals. Jonathan loved David. The Bible does not give us all the details of why, but it seems like it all began there when David, I'm not sure how old that was anymore, when he brought the head of Goliath before Saul. We have that account in 1 Samuel 17, just prior to the verses that I read there in chapter 18. I believe that David and Jonathan's friendship began partially anyway due to their mutual hatred for the Philistines, for the enemies of God, and also because of their mutual love for God, for God's cause. I believe that Jonathan loved David because, well, one of the reasons was because David killed Goliath, Israel's enemy. And Jonathan was not jealous. Jonathan didn't say, "Well, I just wish I had the chance and I would have killed Goliath." No, he didn't say that. But Jonathan and David both had the same goals in mind. You get the picture. Again, coming back to the brotherhood, do we have the same goals in mind? We need to, if we're going to have strong brotherhood relationships. Jonathan and David wanted to see Israel prevail. They wanted to see Israel free from the Philistines. Where are we at today? Do we want to see the church of Christ prevail? They wanted to see God's enemies done away with. They wanted to see God's cause triumph. They had common goals, and so there was no spirit of rivalry there. Proud people don't have close friends. We see that again and again. They have close rivals for sure. And at best, they may have close conspirators. They may conspire together to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Do we ever see this in churches? Do we ever struggle with that? I'm afraid that that is possible. We have seen cases in history where people have conspired together, and eventually when they got to the top, they had to fight it out as to who would be the top. Well, that is the end of relationships between proud people. Secondly, another thing to notice here in this example, to build close relationships, we need to be willing to sacrifice. This morning, am I willing to sacrifice? Like, we need to think about that. Are we willing to sacrifice? And we could turn to, well, let's just read 1 Samuel 18. Again, verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Think about what all Jonathan here was sacrificing, what he gave up, what he gave to David. He was willing to sacrifice to show David how much he loved him. Sacrifice is the proof of our love. Sacrifice proved that Jonathan's love was real. It was without dissimulation. It was without hypocrisy. To build strong relationships, we need to prove our love in that way. We can't just say it once that we love somebody, that we love the brotherhood, and we expect them to remember it the rest of their lives. An evidence of love is a willingness to sacrifice one for another. Now let's go over to chapter 19. Another noteworthy thing here. To build close relationships in the brotherhood, we need to effect reconciliation. Let's read verses 4 through 7 of chapter 19. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore thou wilt Then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Saul had spoken to Jonathan and to all his servants that they should kill David. Prior to this, and we have here, we see that in verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Somehow then Jonathan was able to go and effect reconciliation. Not sure just how long that lasted, but I believe, I'm certain actually, that strengthened their relationship. It strengthened the relationship between Jonathan and David. And I would ask the question of us, in the brotherhood, do we promote peace? Is my goal in the brotherhood to, in a peaceful way, work through situations, or do we find ourselves just stirring the pot, as it were? Psalm 34, verse 14 says, Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And is that where I find myself? Let's turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Not sure if we have time to keep on reading all these verses, but just quickly here, 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 3. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father, and that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? Is it not so? And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Verse 4, has the thought that I want. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. What a commitment. What a laying down of self for the good of another. In the verses prior to these, in the latter part of chapter 19, Saul again was determined to kill David. His resolve or his thing that he said there in the verses we read didn't last long. David had escaped and went to Samuel and Ramah, and Saul found out where he was, and David fled again and come before Jonathan. And if we would read the rest of the chapter there in chapter 20, we would see how they came up with a plan to see if Saul was really serious in his desire to kill David. Verse 30 says, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, the plan that they had come up with, Jonathan going to Saul. Verse 33, Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Jonathan risked his life for the sake of David. He was willing to do that because of his love for David. They were brethren. Then in verses 41 and 42, we have the parting of David. And Jonathan, let's just read those verses, 41 and 42. As soon as the lad was gone, David rose out of a place toward the south. This is in chapter 20. And fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went unto the city. What a picture. There was no thought of rank, one being more important than the other. There was pure brotherly love and affection. There was genuine love and kindness. And that's the thought that I'd like to conclude with in all of this this morning. This morning, maybe we'd be challenged in our brotherhood relationships. May there continue to be, may the relationships grow in brotherly love, pure brotherly love and affection, genuine, one to another. We need it to stand, as I said before, we need it to stand in the battles of life. May we follow the teaching of God's word and build strong relationships. Let's kneel for prayer.